want you to look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And let's just stop there for a minute. Notice it said looking. It never said to stop looking, did it? And who is Jesus, according to that verse? What do authors do? So our faith begins with him, and our faith is completed by him. So when our faith has to be in something and on something. So if we're looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith, what must our faith be in? Our faith must be in who? Our faith must rest on who? You know, some people, they have faith in how many people are praying for them. You've heard their story. I've got 100 people praying for me. That tells me that they're putting their faith in how many people are praying for them. The Bible never says put your faith in how many people are praying for you. Even Jesus said that we are to have our faith in God. We're supposed to have the God kind of faith. A lot of times, people believe something that is not based on anything. They believe it because maybe they want to, or it's a desire, but it's not really based in something. And faith must be based in something. The thing that we put our faith in is the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 1. Now faith is, you know, when the Bible says what faith is, we should consider what it is to make sure that when we're believing God for something, we're really in faith. How do you know if you're in faith? Any ideas? You have peace. What else? How do you know you're in faith? You have word to back up what you're believing. You know, if you don't have any word to say what you're believing, then you're probably not in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Faith deals with the unseen. If you can see it in the natural, you don't need faith. Okay? We're going to look at a couple of these words. You might say it this way. Faith is the essence, the assurance, or the confidence of things expected. How many expect some things? Okay. Faith connects what you're expecting with the reality. In other words, it's through faith that what you're expecting becomes a reality. Can everybody understand me? Faith is the essence or the assurance or the confidence of things expected, anticipated, and possessed. It is the proof or the evidence and conviction of things not seen. So let's look at this word, substance. What is substance? Substance is really the essence of something. It's the assurance. The substance of faith is really, you know that you know that you know. You're absolutely convinced, you're fully persuaded that what God said is yours right now. I believe that I'm healed. So I'm doing what I would normally do. And yes, you know, my voice is a little raspy, but it's a lot better today than what it was yesterday. And I've been gradually improving. But faith is the substance. It's the essence. You know, when you have the essence of something, what is the essence of something? What? The fragrance. It's the core. It's the sum total. It is the root of things. Okay? The word substance, it actually means a setting under, a support. It is an assurance. It is confidence. Do you act different when you're confident? You know, one time, I was witnessing with my friend in Illinois, and he told a former friend, he said, Jesus will put a skip in your walk. And when he said that, his friend turned around and walked the other way. I guess he didn't want a new skip. So if faith is the substance of things, notice faith brings things into reality. Faith, without faith, things don't get manifested. And I love that word, things. That can apply to anything, right? Faith works for anything. Okay? So faith is something that gives support to the thing that you're expecting to come to you. Now let's look at this word, evidence. It's the evidence of the unseen. It is the proof. It is the conviction. What happens when someone commits a crime and they go to court and they get a conviction? A conviction is a sentence, right? It determines what's going to take place in the future for a period of time. When you're convinced of something, what does that mean to be convinced of something? You're sure. That means it's going to go your way no matter what. How many has ever borrowed money on a vehicle? Does the bank hold your vehicle? What do they hold? So that title proves that that vehicle exists, right? Well, if the Word of God is your title deed, when you're believing God for something, it is the Word that tells you it exists. In other words, you don't need any other proof that that thing exists other than the title deed. Because banks hold the title. When you have a mortgage, they hold the deed until you pay the mortgage off. And with that deed, it's a legal contract. And whoever possesses that deed, you know, if you don't pay off your mortgage, they can foreclose on you. But we have the title deed to things. Anything you want, anything you desire, anything you need, God's word is the title deed. It is the proof that it exists. It is the evidence. How many has ever been to court or seen a court on TV? Okay? What must the prosecution do to win their case? Prove beyond a reasonable doubt. Sometimes when people are believing for things, they don't present enough evidence on their case, which means it's circumstantial and their case is not won. So every believer needs to be like a lawyer in a courtroom, and you need to prove your case beyond a reasonable doubt. You need to have so much evidence that there is absolutely no doubt whatsoever. No doubt is acceptable to God. When someone doubts, doubting is like wavering. It's like holding two opinions. You know, you're holding on to two opinions. Well, the Bible says that a double-minded man, one who is holding to two opinions, will get nothing. But we have evidence. And then this word hope. Faith is the substance. It's the essence. It's the assurance. It's the confidence. There's something to faith. Can you see gravity? But yet it works, doesn't it? Now with gravity, we don't have to do anything for gravity to work. It is established in this universe. Without gravity, we would be floating, which might be pretty cool for some. But that law, gravity, it is working right now. Faith, like gravity, is a law. But we've got to work the law of faith. Okay? And then let's look at this word hope. Hope means to expect or to confide. Hope means to trust. It is to anticipate something in a pleasant way. So when you hope for something, hope is an expectation. You're anticipating something. When the farmer planted his cornfield back whenever, what did that farmer expect? He expected corn, right? He expected as much as he planted to get a whole lot more than what he planted, right? And when the corn was ripe, he saw the reality of his expectation because he sent his combine out into the field and he gathered it in. But what did he do between the time he planted it and the time it was fully developed? Do you think the farmer sat there saying, I hope that corn's going to grow? Man, what am I going to do if that corn doesn't grow? You think farmers do that? Farmers have confidence because they planted a seed in the ground and they know that that seed is going to produce. Now, there are some factors that can increase or diminish the harvest. A lack of rain, a lack of sun, too cold, whatever. There are some things that can mess with that harvest. But you know what? That farmer fully expects that seed to produce. And that's what this word means. So faith is the confidence of things expected. If you're expecting something to happen, a need to be met, something to change in your life, you're going to have to get evidence that proves that it exists, and the more evidence you have, the more confident you'll be in your case. And when you're confident, it will affect your outlook, how you walk, how you talk, how you handle yourself. A confident person doesn't worry or fear. So let's talk about let me give you four qualities of little faith, okay? You know that faith can be big or little? Jesus went to the centurion. He said, I've not seen so great faith. But then he said to others, O ye of little faith. Okay? Here are four examples of little faith. Matthew 6:30. Go to Matthew 6:30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of what? If you can't trust God to clothe you, or little faith worries. What am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? What am I going to wear? In that passage, Jesus talked about birds and flowers. He said, and you're much more important than a bird. So, the essence of faith then is to trust God. If there's any moving of your trust from God, you're going to diminish in your faith. Right? Because when you worry, you're taking cares upon yourself. You're trying to do something you weren't designed to do. Any lack of trust is going to diminish your faith. So little faith worries. Go to Matthew 8:26. Actually, let's start with verse 25. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you what? Fearful, O ye of what? So little faith fears. If you have an inkling of fear, what I mean by that is, if you're allowing yourself to fear, fear can be around you, but that doesn't mean you have to participate in it, right? If you're allowing yourself to fear, you will diminish your faith, and your faith will be little. Little faith produces maybe a little results, but big faith produces big results. If you're going to be in faith, you're going to have to eliminate worry and fear from your vocabulary and your thinking. In other words, you're going to have to reject those things from trying to make a nest in your life, trying to attach themselves to you. Okay? Go to Matthew 16, verse 8. Well, let's read verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread," which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread?" Little faith reasons in its mind. If you're going to try to think how God will work, how God will provide, how God will change this thing, it's not going to work. Faith doesn't come by thinking. So if you're going to reason in your mind, you're going to diminish your faith. Because faith doesn't operate in the mind, it operates in the heart. Okay? So if you're trying to reason things in your mind, if you're trying to make things, do things according to your experience and not what God said, you're going to diminish your faith. And when you weaken your faith, you limit your ability to believe God. When you weaken your faith, you lessen your miracle. It's like trying to jump a car with a moped. It's not going to work. Finally, Matthew 14, verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O ye of little faith, wherefore did you," what? Little faith doubts. What happened in this situation? Peter took his eyes off Jesus and put it on his circumstance. He stopped looking at Jesus and started looking at the waves and the wind and the water and the impossibility of it all. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he doubted. And when he doubted, when Jesus rescued him, he didn't say, "Peter, good job, you made it this far." Jesus told him, he said, "Why did you doubt? O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" Something, when Peter looked to his circumstances, that broke his trust in Jesus. In other words, if the devil can get you to look at something else other than Jesus, he can get you into doubt. He can diminish your faith. You know, God approves of faith. Faith pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So, when we believe God, God approves of you. Okay? So that's our little snippet on faith tonight. I'm going to give you faith in little doses. Because I want us to strengthen our faith. I want us to look at our faith. When you say you're believing God for something, I want you to ask yourself, okay, is what I'm believing based in God's word? Did I read it in God's word or did God say it to me? Am I believing what the Bible says? Not just a part of the Bible, but whatever verses apply to you. And you know what? in some cases, you may need to get more than one verse that applies to your situation. Because the more evidence you have, the stronger your case will be. Because the enemy, who's the prosecuting attorney, he's the accuser of the brethren. He'll try to accuse you for not believing God or not doing this. You know, it was Satan who accused God, who accused Job to God. So I want us to just consider the basics of faith. And what I'm believing, is it rooted in the Word of God? You know, it's very easy to say, you know, like, if I were to say to you, I'm going to believe God for $1 million, is that really? I mean, I'm not asking if it's possible, but I'm asking, do you think I really believe that? If I was to say, I'm going to believe God for $1 million, do you really think that I actually believe that? Okay, let's take it a little bit further. All right, Pastor Doug, I hear that you're believing God for $1 million. Based on what? Well, because I feel like I need $1 million. Because I want $1 million. See, if God didn't tell me, and if I didn't find it in God's word, then really there's no substance. And if there's no substance, guess what? There's nothing for your faith to grab onto. Your faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So, maybe I have $1,000 faith versus $1 million faith. You know, faith is just like a muscle. If I'm going to lift 500 pounds, I better be able to lift 100 pounds first. Right? I can't just try to lift 500 pounds the very first time without having lifted 100 pounds. I might hurt something. But so many times we try to do that with faith. We're trying to believe God for something, and it's not based on anything, therefore it's not producing the results that we desire. You know, when miracles occur, it's a sign of something greater. When someone receives a miracle, it shows that something took place on the inside of them. First, before it came out here. All right? The inner cause is greater than the external results. Physical results reveal that something precious was put on the inside of you. Did you know that faith is precious? It's valuable. Take a look at this. This is going with healing now. We're getting into the healing part here. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at verse 7. Notice the trial of your faith is more precious than what? So faith is more valuable to you than gold that perishes. though it be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So when your faith is tried, the devil is going to see if you really believe what you believe. You know, I could have easily said, well, you know, my voice isn't what it should be, so I'm just not going to preach. But I was determined in my heart that I'm going to preach as long as I can get the words out and they could be understood. Amen. But your faith is more precious than gold. Go to chapter 2. Notice this. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, which is deceit, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Did you know if you have those will diminish your faith? Notice what it said. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know what? The milk of God's word. It's the pure word. The sincere milk, the pure milk of the word of God. You know, a mother's milk is more healthy than any other species milk for a baby. God designed it that way. God's word. It's precious. This is the very thing that'll help you grow. But too many people, we don't desire the milk of the word. There's no desire. Oh yeah, I know that. Let's move on to something else. Well, that just tells me that you don't know that. Listen, you should never get tired of the milk of the word. Because verse 3, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How many have tasted that the Lord is gracious? Say, God is gracious to me. That's so awesome. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual home, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. How are you going to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God without faith? God will only accept what you give him in faith. He doesn't accept ritual. In the Old Testament, they operated on the law of works. But in the New Testament, we operate under the law of faith. All right. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, precious faith can be obtained from the Word. You obtain precious faith from God's Word. When it comes to healing, whenever we need healing in our body, we have to rid ourselves of all uncertainty about what God's will is regarding our situation. Your faith cannot go beyond the knowledge of God. What you know of God, your faith will equal your knowledge of God. So the more you know about God, the greater faith you can have. But the less you know about God, the less faith you can have. Does everybody understand that? All right. In order for us to have faith for healing, we've got to know what the Word says and what the Word teaches. And that has to, what the Scriptures say and what the Scriptures teach has to be the thing that governs us in our words and in our actions. If we ever depart, if we ever say something that the Word doesn't say, and if we ever do something that the Word doesn't do, it's going to hinder our faith. Because to be in faith for healing, you've got to be in harmony with what God said. You've got to be in agreement with what God said. You've got to accept what God said. When you know what God promises and are persuaded of what He said, that it's true for you. You've got to believe that God's word is true for you. You can't do what someone else did and expect to get the same results if it's not true to you. If you're just doing it because brother so-and-so did it or sister so-and-so did it, you're putting your faith in the wrong thing. You're putting your faith in brother or sister so-and-so. The word of God has to be real to you. You have to have a revelation of it. It has to be alive on the inside of you in order for you to operate in it. See, faith operates differently than what we're normally used to operating. So in order to operate in faith, we have to renew our minds. Go with me to Romans 12 for a minute. Look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Okay, God has made provision for us to operate in His kingdom, to walk and live like Jesus lived and walked when He was on this earth. It's by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Anytime that you see the word acceptable, it has to do with faith. Which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What happens when you renew your mind? You will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want you to know that the will of God and the word of God are phrases that can be interchanged. They mean the same thing. God's word is His will. God's will is His word. This is the testament of Jesus Christ. God made this word so complete, He doesn't have to add to it. He doesn't have to take away to it. God's word is forever settled in heaven. God's word provides the framework for this universe to exist. So, in order to receive healing, you've got to think and act and speak like the healer. You can, you know, Jesus, even Ephesians said, be imitators of God as dear children. How did Jesus, you know, Jesus was the Word made flesh. God sent His Word in the form of His Son to heal us. Psalm 107:20, He sent His word and healed them. God sent Jesus, who is the word. And everywhere the word went, everywhere that Jesus went, He healed them. He healed people. He healed all kinds of diseases, all kinds of sicknesses. Sometimes it was individuals. Sometimes it was groups. Sometimes He couldn't do any mighty thing where He was. But that's for another time. To appropriate God's promises, You have to know and act on God's word. Now, when Jesus encountered a lame person, and Jesus told that lame person to pick up your bed and walk, that was the word telling that person what he could do. Jesus was the word made flesh, so that was God's word speaking, and the person heard the word, faith came to their heart, and they believed what they were told, so what happened? They got up and walked. So that's a good thing. That tells me that faith can be received quickly. The minute the word is spoken, faith comes to your heart. Because Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as you're hearing the word of God, faith is coming to your heart. But then to activate that faith that comes to your heart, you've got to take some action. If you don't take any action, then your faith is dead. Because faith without works, that word works is corresponding action. Faith without works is what? Dead. We don't have a dead God, so we shouldn't have dead faith. But faith requires two things. It requires knowledge and action. When you are dealing with a physical issue in your body, and I've been speaking this over myself a lot throughout this day, I kept saying, my voice is strong. Lord gives me a good voice, a strong voice. My vocal cords have the life of God in them. And, you know, Fiona can testify, my voice was a lot worse yesterday than it is today. Because I've been speaking that over me. And I believe with all my heart that I'm receiving strength in my voice so that my voice can be clear and strong like it should be. Because God called me to preach. I already have his word on that. So therefore, I shouldn't accept anything that prevents me from doing what God said. So in spite of my voice, I'm here tonight preaching before you. Because you've got to add action to what you believe. If you believe something, then there has to be an action to demonstrate that you believe it. Go to 2 Peter again, chapter 1. And let's look at verses 3 and 4. See, faith begins with the knowledge of God. You can only operate in faith as much as you know about God. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us. What does that phrase, has given unto us, say to you? Past tense, that means it's already established. So if he's already given it to us, then we ought to act like we have it. Who gave us this? It was his divine power that has given unto us all things. Faith is the substance of what? Things. His divine power. His power is his word and the Holy Ghost. Has given unto us all things. Say, I have all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, God did everything that he needs to do for you to have stuff for life and for your spiritual life. For godliness is your spiritual life. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? Through the knowledge of who? Of him who has called you to glory and virtue. So faith begins with the knowledge of God. Okay, notice then what does it say, verse 4? Whereby are given unto us, when were they given? Whereby are given unto us, when were they given? We're going to get to what they are in just a minute. But when were they given? When Jesus died on the cross and when he rose from the grave, everything that God has been given to believers. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Boy, I'll tell you what, on that verse I could run around this building. What was given to you? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by what? By the promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. How come he said you might be? Because what? Right. You have to make a choice. You have to believe. These promises have been already, they're given to you. And if you believe these promises, your belief in these promises cause you to be a partaker of what? His divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So your belief in the promises that you've already been given cause those promises to be activated to you. And once they're activated to you, you become a partaker of the divine nature. Do you think there's any sickness in the divine nature? Do you think there's any sorrow in the divine nature? Isn't that awesome that we can participate in the divine nature? Because when you get born again, oh, you get a new nature. You get the nature of God on the inside of you. You become a child of God. You become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness is a different nature than the old man. And we can become partakers, a sharer. You become a stockholder in the divine nature. God gives you stock in the divine nature. Oh my goodness. And the Holy Ghost makes sure that you get your dividends. And there's never a loss. Hallelujah. If you need healing in your body, you must plant healing seed. If you have planted no healing seed in your body, you cannot reap a healing harvest. What is a healing seed? It is a scripture that specifically deals with healing. Let me just give you a few. Exodus, I'm going to take just another minute here. Exodus 15, 26. Exodus 15, 26. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that what? Heals you. Now notice, there are some requirements. You got to diligently hearken to his voice. You got to do that which is right in his sight. You got to give ear to his commandments, and you got to keep his statutes. Four things that you need to do. Say, that's not too much to ask. When you do those things, you can say, Lord, I'm listening to your voice. I'm attentive to your word. Lord, I'm doing what you've asked me to do. Therefore, I thank you that you are my healer. You see how I personalize that? That's what you got to do. Go to Psalm 103. You got just a couple more minutes? I'm just going to give you some scriptures. Psalm 103. Verse 3. He forgives all your iniquities and what? He heals all your diseases. That's a benefit of God. That's a healing seed. Go to Isaiah 53. And verse 5. As much as he wants people saved, he wants them healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we what? How come it didn't say were? Because Isaiah is looking to the future. Go to Matthew 8:17. Matthew 8:17. I'm almost done. Two more scriptures. Matthew 8:17. He was healing a bunch of people, right? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So people came to him in verse 16, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, based on what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53:5. Go to 1 Peter 2:24 and I'm done. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Peter was looking back at what Jesus did. Isaiah was looking to what Jesus was going to do. And they're all tied together. Isaiah 53:5, Matthew 8:17, 1 Peter 2:24, they're all saying the same thing. So if you need healing in your body, plant healing seed. Say, Lord, I thank you that by your stripes I'm healed. What if you don't feel any change? You say, Lord, I thank you that by your stripes I'm healed. What if you still don't feel any change? Lord, I thank you. Listen, it's not based on your feeling. It's based on what he said. When you keep saying what he said, I guarantee you change will occur. But see, the devil will try to distract you. He'll try to get you focused on your feelings. Don't look to your feelings. Look to Jesus. And why do you keep saying it? Because I'm in faith. I keep saying it because that's what God said. If God said it, I can say it, therefore I can have it. I didn't expect to get so preachy tonight, but I get fired up about this stuff. I'm very passionate about healing. I want to see people healed. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word is the incorruptible seed. And, Father, I thank you that we can plant this incorruptible seed in our heart, and it's going to grow, it's going to produce fruit, and it's going to reap a harvest. And so, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we can be people of faith. We can please you. We can believe in your word because your word is true. Your word is for us. Your word is for today. Your word is your power. And we give you thanks and praise, Father, that your word is a reality in our hearts. And Father, we thank you that we can lean on your word and your word will hold us up. Your word will lead and guide us. Your word will fill us. Your word will satisfy us. Your word will heal us. Your word will fill us. Your word will save us. And we thank you, Father, that the more we know about your word, the stronger our faith will be. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you to check up on your faith. See if what you're believing is in the Word of God. And then ask if you don't know any scriptures to support what you're believing for, ask the Holy Spirit to show you. And if he can't show you anything, then you're believing the wrong thing. Because the Holy Spirit will never disagree with the Word of God. Amen? So we got a lot of things to believe God for. Amen? Father, we call our van paid for. It's not going to require a whole lot, Father, in the name of Jesus. We call that our van's going to be a great tool for this church to use, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We call in our new lawnmower, Father, in Jesus' name. We're believing you, Father, for our new lawnmower. We call it in, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that every one of these chairs is filled with a person in Jesus' name. We give you thanks and praise, Father. We're going to believe you for big things. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you that you're going to use this body to make an impact in our community in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you give us a spirit of boldness. You make us bold as a lion, bold in believing you and bold in sharing with others about you, Lord. And we give you thanks and praise for doing great and mighty things. Father, I call everybody who needs a job to have a job. And Lord, I speak increase and promotion in the name of Jesus to those that have a job. Lord, cause open doors to be opened unto us and cause promotion to come, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, provide for every person's need. Lord, I thank you that when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, Father, that no one will lack, just like it was in the book of Acts. We believe you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So go out and believe God.